This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
And we are live.
Look who's back.
Hey.
The third musketeer. He's been living her best life in Ghana.
Yeah.
She forgot about us.
Can you see her skin glowing?
Isn't it?
like, I'm sweating right now. It's so hot. I just cannot. But I'm happy that I'm here, guys. Back with you. I think it's one episode there. So.
Yeah, yeah, to be honest, it hasn't been a lot. Yeah, it could have been worse.
Yeah, it could have been worse. It feels like it. Because we don't do that hard. One person missing often, so
yeah.
How are you guys? Let's do a quick catch up. I know you guys were doing a weekly episodes now.
We are, goodness,
and people are loving it.
People are loving it.
Let's give the people what they want. They want weekly episodes, let's give it to them. They're loving it, so
how are you guys? How's the pandemic?
This lockdown.
And I'll leave that to you, because quite frankly,
me, I'm very, very angry, because I feel like people aren't taking it seriously. And the more people don't take it seriously, the longer we're going to be in this situation for. So, I mean, I've heard that the restrictions are going to get even tighter. I heard it on the news today.
Yeah.
So hopefully.
I saw that too, actually, because the PM fears that people aren't taking it seriously. Well, I don't blame, but it's true, people aren't, but I kind of don't blame them, because we've literally, it's been a very emotional roller coaster for the past year. So I get why people are over it now. I don't buy that in a way, I understand it,
because I think, not in general, like, we're talking about, like, worldwide, we're talking about the UK, and the government of the UK have handled it. Look at New Zealand, look at your age mates, just what I was saying.
Look at China, apparently they're down to zero cases.
Exactly. New Zealand are the same, like, they did what was necessary from the absolute beginning. They didn't have no halfway break, eat out to help out, they didn't have any of that. It was literally, we need to do what we need to do until the end of the year, and bada bing, bada boom, that's it. Just, I was like, it was right at the start, everyone didn't mind staying home. But at this point, it's like, you had an opportunity to do this properly from the start, and you didn't.
Exactly.
The fact that only now, as in, like, just this past week, you have to get tested to come into the UK is ridiculous. Like,
it's ridiculous.
I still can't believe.
Because they're still trying to preserve their economy. Don't forget that.
But is every other country. What makes them different to any other country? Just what I'm saying. Look at
China. Do you know what it is? I think they have some sort of, I think England has some sort of hidden deal that they've signed or something with a country that has made them lose their minds, because nothing they're doing is actually making any logical sense. Why are people still being allowed to travel out and in?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, what will it kill you if you just stop the travels for a month? Will it really kill you? Like, so it's just not making any sense.
I know two people that are coming to Ghana, like, one's coming next week, and another one's coming next month.
You
like,
see,
people are still traveling.
It's crazy.
And it just makes no sense.
But to be honest, it's like, here in Ghana,
How's Ghana like?
It's business as usual, but I don't think that's okay. Like, you know, this year, me being here, I didn't, like, do enjoyment as much as I did last year. I didn't,
I've noticed. I mean, you've done enjoyment, but it hasn't been, like...
Yeah, especially nightlife. I've only been out once, nightlife, literally. Like, I haven't... Wow. So I've been here for almost 3 months now. So I'm just being more careful, because, like, everyone's coming here, and they're coming here to escape restrictions. They don't give... They don't have consideration for corona or anything like that. So people have been enjoying... I think it was, like, just the 7th of January, from the 7th, they said that cases have spiked quite a lot, which is obviously because people have been enjoying, people have still put on events, people have put on...
Yeah,
I've been seeing. Didn't NSG open up a whole bar?
Yeah,
they opened
exactly,
the whole bar
exactly.
in Ghana.
So you've got, like, beach clubs and all this kind of stuff. Like, they have, like, 10 days from Christmas of, like, beach clubs and parties and all this stuff. So people are really enjoying as usual. And you look at people's snap, no one's wearing a mask. No one's like, I went to the one place I went to, it was called Upfest, and the idea was so sick. Like, it was genius, because basically this guy, he made the event around COVID, and you had your own table, and each table, normally what they would do is have like a big pool. Each table had their own pool. Like it was a built-in
pool.
Yeah. So in my table, it had like a built-in pool. So you could enjoy, everyone had their own pool. Some people were there like in their bikinis. And stuff. So you didn't have to mix in with people. And it was really ideal. But everything else is everyone's merged. People are packed in places like Sardinia. I'm just like, I don't get it. So, but the thing is with young people is that they're less considerate. It's a few things. If they have it and they don't have any symptoms, they most likely won't say anything. They're not going to tell anyone.
They won't.
That's just really wicked. Dangerous.
It's a case where they still want to enjoy and they don't want people to kind of look at them funny like, oh, you have COVID type thing.
Yeah. Like just putting someone else at risk.
My friend sent me this like screenshot of someone on Snapchat and they were like at this party and someone messaged him like, didn't you just test positive for COVID? He was like, yeah, but I feel fine. And he was literally at a party with like these people. This was not in Ghana, but this was like some white
guy. People understand like that it's contagious.
I'm so but people like that need to get arrested, honestly. I have no 100%. Mercy. Like, I'm at the point where I have 100%. No mercy for people.
Yeah, 100%.
So this is so funny because usually Jen is all nice and Jen's like, no, I'm not having it.
But do you know why? Because I'm seeing it from the other side as well. Like my patients that like dying basically. People aren't taking it seriously. I think penalties, and I know they started handing it out, but more penalties need to be handed out. The same way that they keep giving me a penalty for parking, do the same thing for people who are outside doing nothing.
I agree. It's been that. I've just been, if anything, I go out to eat or stuff like that. But
it looks lit though.
Hopefully I'll go this year. No, I do have FOMO, I won't lie.
It's definitely the place to be. It really, really, really is. Especially like this type of year. There's so, so much to do and everyone's in a good mood. So it's if people know that you're a tourist, you'll probably get ripped off quite a lot. But that's
same in Nigeria. At least I can like put on a Nigerian accent and try and blend in. But in Ghana, I'll have to just go around with someone that knows what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Go around in the city then.
It's been okay. So my birthday's on Sunday. Well, actually, by the time this comes out, it's on Monday. Yeah.
Oh, yes. So, how are you feeling?
We're 28. Like, I'm like, But at the same time, I'm like, definitely quite, I feel quite sober because I think, like, I think only just now I'm really getting to that point in my life where I'm, like, super comfortable. I think that happened at 27. I'm just like, it's just like, I don't care what you think, this is my life kind of thing.
Yeah. I saw the tweet that you put out, like, you think you know yourself around, like, 24, 25.
Yeah, do you know what? I thought I'd be like 25, 26. But when I turned 27, I don't know, something clicked. And I remember having a conversation with, like, a lot of my friends, even guys, and they were saying the same thing, that it's not that you don't know yourself, but there's a confidence that just hits you when you get to that part where you're going into your later 20s.
Yeah.
That, like, you just never had before. So I think I'm just kind of there. I'm just like, you know what? It's AJ now, but a number, maybe. So, but I'm excited to be 30. I'm genuinely excited to be 30. So, 2 more years.
Do you know what you're doing?
On Sunday, I'm just going to like, it's a place called Sandbox. I've been there before. I don't know if you guys have seen it on my Snap. It's literally a restaurant that's right in front of the beach. So, the beach is like right there. So, I'm just going to go there and grab some food with my friends. And then I want to spend a couple days away, just like further out of, like, just not out of Accra, but still in Accra, but a bit further out with the mister. And then that's it,
the mister. I was gonna say something, so I was cute. Waiting for you to say it
first. I know. I got a man in it.
I was single, literally.
And look at you now. Listen,
our girl went to Ghana and found a bae.
I know, it's like, never expected it. Like, coming to Ghana, I've had conversations with you guys about,
literally, your headspace wasn't even there. You were kind of like over it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
I genuinely feels like that's when it comes, when you're when you least expect when you least expect it, and when you're not looking for it. And I know it sounds cliche, but that's the reality.
No, honestly, it does. So he's a cool guy. So we're just trying to enjoy it, obviously, because eventually he's gonna have to be long distance. So it's gonna be quite hard, but just trying to make the most of our time, really. And met him through my friend, and then we just got along. So we'll see how.
Well, you guys look lovely together.
Thank you.
You do, girl.
Oh my pod.
Oh my pod.
Oh my pod. It is you.
So I think my point is nothing like, oh my gosh. But I just wanted to have a conversation about it because I think I spoke to you about it, Jen, about Kim and Kanye getting divorced. And then I was saying to Shani today that LaToya Luckett just announced that she's getting a divorce as well. And she had been married for...
Oh, wait, this is news to me.
Yeah,
when you told me, I was just like, oh, wow, like, when did this happen?
She's been married for 3 years, but I heard last year that her husband was unfaithful to her. And I noticed on her, like, I follow her on Instagram, I noticed that she wasn't posting him really anymore on her Instagram. It was just more so her. They literally just had a baby, so apparently she was pregnant while I'm cheating on her. So, I don't know. I think my thing is not necessarily like, oh, it's a newsworthy that these people are getting divorced because they've only been married 3 years. Like that it may feel like a lifetime to them, maybe because of everything they went through. I know, like, not long after they married, maybe a year, his mum died as well. So they'll probably go through a lot of stuff. But like, I think Kim and Kanye, 7 years they've been married for.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Six, seven years.
Marriages don't. Like, what is going on? Like,
well, they're not lasting long.
They're not lasting.
I don't know, because obviously we've spoken about this before, about like the balance between our parents sticking things out, but sometimes they did stay in toxic situations just to save face, or because it was less accepted in their days and grandparents. But I just feel like people have stopped trying. I can't really, I'm not judging the divorce, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like with Kim and Kanye, I do understand, because she has, from what it looks like, she has tried, and obviously he's bipolar, he's got a condition, it's not necessarily all his fault, but you know, at some point, especially with having four kids, enough is enough, and she needs to take care of herself, and for the sake of her mental health and her kids' well-being as well.
I definitely hear that about Kim and Kanye. I think my thing is with Kim and Kanye is everyone goes to Kanye's mental health first, and I think everyone kind of focuses on Kanye, like, oh, they go straight to his mental health. And to be honest, let's be real, guys, here, anyone that has gone into that Kardashian family comes back out a hot mess. That's just my
this is the longest time
I'm even surprised they lasted this long.
I'm not trying to say that everyone, they didn't have their issues before, because I feel like Kanye was going on a slippery slope from when his mom died. He was kind of just kind of like, you know, he was struggling. But I do feel like being married into the Kardashian family is hard, because they are strong-willed women, very strong-willed. So I don't necessarily just think it Kanye. Obviously, a lot of things that all these breakdowns you've had, and it must be very hard for Kim having four children and stuff like that. But I do feel like it's not just Kanye. And
I'm sure that's
my thing. So obviously, the Toya Lockett situation is a bit different, because if he was unfaithful, that, you know, especially when someone's pregnant, to me that's the lowest thing you could do, is cheat on your wife while she's pregnant. Sorry.
And you know what, I hear a lot about women cheating on their wives when they're pregnant, and I'm wondering if it's because men cheating on their wives, and I think it's maybe it's because of the lack of sex, or think their body's changing, maybe they're tired more, I'm not making excuses for them at all, but I'm just saying that that's probably why there is so, and I still think it's wrong. I think it is inhumane, like, she's literally carrying a child.
Same thing that happened with Chloe and Tristan, you know.
Kevin
Hart and his wife. I don't know, guys. My thing is just like, obviously people have divorces for different reasons and stuff like that, but I don't know, it's just disheartening to see like this generation marriage is not lasting as long, you know. And I think, again, one side of it is that, especially us as women, we take a lot less BS these days. Like, we really stand up for ourselves, and we're not pick me's.
Do you know, that reminds me of Audrey from the Receipts podcast. She tweeted something the other day. You must have seen it. It was even on the Shade Bar, right?
So she
basically said something along the lines of, I really rate the girls of nowadays, they're all younger than me, but they inspire me because they say what they say and they mean it. She was just like, back in my days, we were pick me's. We would say what we wanted to say for man.
They just wanted
man to acknowledge them. But nowadays, girls will We are strong willed now. And she said that you lot actually inspire me, even though she's like mid 30s and she's probably talking about girls our age, mid 20s. But she was just like, you lot inspire me. And that just showed me that I really feel like there's been a shift.
For sure.
I think that the more the generation goes on, is the
They're less tolerant.
But I was saying, yeah, the more the generations go on, I think it's the more, like, we, even if you just look at the way, every, like, our generation handled things this year in regards to standing up for things and justice and et cetera, like, seeking justice for things. It was our generation, whether it was
Because, literally, because how long has all of these issues been going on? Years. But it's now that we're not having it. We're not having it. Even in Korea, in the workplace, millennials are, literally people are saying that millennials are changing the way things are going.
And everything is publicized as well, don't forget. So there's no hiding. Can't hide 100%. From cheating. You can't hide from injustice. No, I mean, obviously, it still happens behind closed doors. But
sorry to put. So I know this is a number two. I was in and out because, you know, these days I don't really use Clubhouse like that.
Don't get me started.
There was this room. I can't remember what the room was about. It was about. But a guy came on and basically said. It was about side chick, I think.
Yeah.
And a guy basically came on and said that he admitted that he's cheated on his wife, like, now, in the present. And it got very political very quickly.
Was it American?
No, he was a British guy. And two people, the part I came in at, which was absolutely hilarious, was two girls, bearing in mind this room had about 2,000 people, which only two people doing something is actually quite good. Two people went on his Instagram, found his wife, and DM'd his wife. He came back on because he left. He came back on and was like, to whoever DM'd my wife, F you, this, that, like going in. Yeah. So then the girls were like, the moderators are like, okay, so what happened? Your wife was DM'd? Like, what happened? He was like, I'm not even going to go into it. Like, so it sounded like he was insinuating that he saw the DMs and he deleted them before his wife saw them. That's what it sounded like.
Oh, right.
So I don't think his wife, because when they asked him, does your wife know? He was like, no, she doesn't know. And they were like, hold on. So if they DM.
Okay.
Sneaky. And then he was like, F you guys, whatever. And then he just left. And the moderators were like, what did we do? Like, you're the one that came on here.
Well, she's going to find out anyway.
So anyway, like, you're in a room full of 2,000 people telling them about how you're cheating on your wife, and you think she's not going to find out.
Moderators thing, and I believe that he two things for me. He was either lying about the whole story and he just wanted, like, to cause some like, you know, whatever commotion in the room. If he is cheating, he did want his wife to find out, because you don't go into a room of 2,000 strangers, you know,
and tell them that. 2,000
room Clubhouse is not a safe space. You do not know this. So for you to go in there, you wanted your wife to find out. Like, anyways, Clubhouse never been I don't go on there.
It's horrible. I preferred it back in November.
A lot of these conversations are so late at night.
People have no seriously, I've been on rooms during the Christmas holidays. I was in rooms where it was literally lasting till like 3-4 a.m. That's when the heat of the conversation was, and I thought, okay, cool, it's Christmas, people aren't working, whatever. But now I'm just like, do you not have lives? Like, I genuinely cannot put my head around it. But on my pod, guys.
To me, Clubhouse feels like a Backchat London now. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, it just feels like toxic Twitter conversations that have been brought from Twitter. Now we're just hearing Twitter voices.
But,
that's what it is.
Mind you, there are some, like, good groups on there that
there are. But you have to really sift through.
Now the rooms that get the traction are the toxic rooms, and I don't like that. It was never ever like that.
We are continuing with a topic that we felt was actually quite good, and we did say we were gonna do a part two. So here we are, and we are doing a part two on the episode that we did regarding virginity and sex
relationships
and all that.
Oh my god.
I know, if we could quickly do a quick synopsis of what we covered the last episode, because I feel like that would help people just to kind of keep track. So I think I spoke about losing my virginity at 13. And I know me and myself, Sade can speak for herself as well, but we both shared the sentiment of, like, how we giving ourselves to the wrong people, like how that caused us to kind of behave out of character a lot of the time. And do things that we didn't feel were natural to us, and that attachment that we get when we are physically intimate with someone. And yeah, we, I mean, go listen to the episode if you haven't listened to it, but those are just the big things. Sade, you want to speak about what else you covered?
Yeah, so what stood out to me in that episode is how Bianca literally just asked us, are you virgins?
Yeah. I mean, that
we were all like, God. For real. I was just like, whoa, are we going there? But then I remembered that we promised you guys vulnerability, transparency, honesty, integrity. Exactly. So that's what we're going to deliver. So yeah, so I spoke about that. I spoke about, you know, my virginity and, you know, how I lost it and what happened in that situation, how it made me feel and the effects it still has on me today, actually. Yeah. So, yeah, that was a great episode. Go listen to it if you haven't. Yeah. It was called, what was it called again? I'm Imagine at 25.
What's which leads on me? To my bit. Yeah, today, which, yes. You know, I spoke about being 25 and still a virgin. And yeah, like just what comes with that, the good and the bad. And what was really great, like even after the episode, like a lot of people did reach out to me privately, like saying, oh, thank you so much for speaking about this. I'm going through the same thing, or even through our own
Jen, I didn't know that.
DMs as well. Yeah. And do you know what? Because initially I thought, oh my gosh, like what? There's still a part of me that's like, oh, what are people going to say? Is like a taboo. Like imagine being a virgin is a taboo. But yeah, it was just really nice to hear like people connecting with us in that way. So of course we had to do another.
We did. And we even had, you know, a girl DM us this week, actually, early this week or late. No, sorry, this week just started late last week. And she was just like, oh my gosh, I just listened to the episode, girls. It was amazing. When are you going to do part two? And I was like, do you know what? Right, let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So, let's do it.
Let's do it. There's no perfect time to do it. Let's just do it.
Exactly. No, exactly. So I know the last time we did like just touch on when it comes to like virginity and abstinence, when it comes to faith and when it comes to spirituality. Yeah. And obviously not everyone that listens to us is maybe a Christian. Some people may be Muslim. Some people may be atheist. There's all kinds of people. But I definitely think that this is an approach that we have to address, especially because all of us do, we are our faith. And I also feel like, you know, there were some, I think there are so many different perspectives to look at it from. And I think this is quite a big one because I think a lot of our listeners actually are Christians as well. Mm. So I think this definitely has to be a subtopic that we focus on and we hone in on. And I mean, my question actually is, and this is to Sade, to you and I, because obviously, actually, no, it's to all of us, because obviously, you did say, Jennifer, in the last episode that even though you haven't had sex, you've done other physical, done other things. Yeah. And so, it would be good to ask the question of, because I think this is a really important thing to address when it comes to like sex and stuff like that, or physical, like being sexual, is how much guilt do you feel? When or conviction do you feel when you do something sexual with a man? Like, do you feel, does that guilt come? Does that conviction come? Does condemnation come? Do you feel like, or is it a thing where, depending on who it is, or if, say, for example, if they're your boyfriend or if there's someone you're seeing, you're kind of just in your element for a while until something happens and knocks you back into reality? Because that's happened to me a few times, to be honest. You know what I mean? You're kind of just like,
yeah,
and then something happens, and you're like, God, I'm so sorry. So, what? Like,
that's so bad, you know,
that?
But it's so true.
No, but it's the reality. Like,
it happens.
Yeah. Sade, have you felt that? Like, you know, let me know.
I've definitely felt that guilt, 100%. Especially when it's been with people who I know I don't see a future with, and this is probably not going to amount to anything and knowing that, so that just even made me feel extra guilty, because I'm just like, what am I doing? Like, why am I doing this? And in the moment it feels great. It's just like, oof, it's, you know, you're just doing it, but then it's after when reality actually hits. A lot of the time it wasn't even necessarily my faith, you know, like it was just like, it was more of a reality check. Like, this just didn't need to happen. It could just kind of felt like a race.
That's exactly how I felt, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, funny enough, it wasn't so much, oh, you know, I'm sinning, I'm this, I'm that. Like, yeah. Yes, that was definitely a part of it, but it was not the main, it wasn't my main guilt.
I think I wasn't saying God, I'm sorry, as in, it sounds bad to say, but it wasn't God, I'm sorry because of like, oh, I've had sex, but it was more so like, for even wasting my time with this person. Do you know what I'm saying?
And sometimes a waste of a body count.
Also, in general, overall, because let's be honest, like, none of us, each of us have our own paths and the way we live our lives at the end of the day. I think when, no matter what you do or who you are, I think more so it's, for me, the guilt came in when I felt like that person fully distracted me from God.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So even if we are having sex, but like, or we have had sex, yeah, but I still feel a connection to God somehow, because God doesn't dash you away if you do one thing that he doesn't necessarily like. So it's a thing where the guilt was more so like, I've literally forgotten about you and I've been caring about Matt. Just what I'm saying. That's where the guilt would come from. But Sade, like, what's your perspective on, I mean, Jen first, like, have what? You...
Oh, yeah.
The same thing to Sade. Like, where's your... Have you ever felt any, like... Have you ever been knocked back into reality when it comes to your faith, when it comes to being like sexual with someone?
Not necessarily. And I say this because, I don't know if this is the right way to think as well, but I always place like sex up there. So if I'm not engaging in sex, not to say that if you are, it's bad.
Okay.
It doesn't feel as extreme to me.
Okay.
I know
compared
what you mean.
To if I like, you know, kiss someone or, you know, do other things with other, you know, with people. But yeah, as long as I haven't had sex, then it's almost like it's fine. That's how I was thinking before. I mean, now I'm not too sure. I'm kind of with Sade. Like, I don't know if I automatically think, oh, my faith is more like, oh, is this the person I'm going to be with forever? I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to give away something, you know, give someone that special part of me without actually being with them forever. So that's my main
thing. And then another thing, just being really honest as well, my thing was like, oh my gosh, will people talk? This was especially in uni, where I moved a bit mad after my breakup. And I just felt, you know, when you feel like, oh, you can cheat on me, cool. I'm going to kind of get my own back. Even though it's not really getting him back, because he wasn't going to care, but it was more like, I can do what I want now. No one's gonna stop me. I'm a boss babe too. I can do all of this too, but really no, because it just, there's double standards, it doesn't work like that. But I had the insecurity of, oh my gosh, are people talking about me? Are they gonna say Shadi's a hoe, Shadi's this, Shadi's that?
Yeah.
That also made me feel very guilty. Yeah. Especially because uni, the community is so
that's
small.
Shame, and that doesn't belong. That doesn't belong, because at the end of the day, same people that are saying they are doing their thing, they just haven't been cool, or they haven't been, you know,
exactly.
I mean, so that shame doesn't belong anyhow, no matter how many people you have slept with or haven't slept with.
I definitely felt that shame.
100%. But I was about to ask you a question, Sade, and this, because this is also like, this is quite personal. You don't, it's not about you going into detail, but for people who are in relationships, I do want to talk about this. While we're on the topic of like faith and stuff like that, and I know you have some things to contribute to this subtopic, like. For people that who are in a relationship, like, what advice would you give them about sex, about trying not to have sex?
Like,
if they do have sex, what they're like, what? Oh, hello?
Hey.
Yeah. Sorry, a message came up saying about the meeting has a time limit. So I was like, I was confused.
Yeah. Oh, it hasn't come up for me, you know?
Okay, that's weird. But yeah, so I'll just start again. So yes, Sade, so for you, obviously I do want to talk about people that are in relationships that are Christians, or even if you're Muslim, whatever it is, like whatever faith you are, if you're Buddhist, we're talking now from a Christian perspective, because that you are a Christian. Being in a relationship, what advice, like how, as much as you can talk about it, because it's quite personal, what advice or what can you say about like how... Yeah, what advice would you give to people about kind of like navigating that journey of
when it comes to
having
sex,
whether they're having sex, whether they're not having sex, like what, from your own experience?
So,
with what you
So for me, I'm such a big advocate on abstinence, celibacy, because because I've been in both positions where I am engaging in, you know, sexual activity, and then I'm not, and I've seen the difference. And then also, okay, I didn't want to come from a perspective of, oh, it's a sin, you know, having sex for marriage is a sin, and there's soul ties and all of that. So, you know, I reached out to certain people who could actually offer me some practical advice that I wanted to kind of, you know, share in this episode. So hopefully it helps people. I'm not an expert at all. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I still make, you know, mistakes. But there are so many reasons to wait until marriage to have sex. There are so many reasons. We think that everyone is doing it, but everyone is not doing it, and we'll come on to that, because you know the whole about Dorothy and all of that, but we'll come on to that. But I was reading an article about 10 reasons not to have sex before marriage, right? And I really liked this, because he wasn't, the writer wasn't necessarily coming from a you know, it's a sin, it's that. It was very practical reasons, and it was like anyone can relate, whether you're atheist, whether you're Buddhist, whether you're Christian, whether you're Muslim, you can relate. So I'll just kind of read out a few of the points he made that I really resonated with, and then how, whatever you feel like you want to do with the advice is up to you individually in your relationship, whatever works for you. But the first one is about sex masks problems. Now let's be real, when you engage in some sort of sexual activity,
the word is stigmatized, okay? That's the word.
Stigmatized.
that's the word. Let's be real. We've all kind of done, we've all done things that are a bit questionable because of the dick. Let's be real. When I look back on some of the things I did, the places I traveled to when I was not even driving, because of
the money spent.
The money spent, sis. Should we talk about the money spent? Let's not even go there, because it's actually embarrassing.
Nah, that's it. It's too painful.
The first one is about it masks problems, and it does. Let's be real, because when sex is in the equation, you won't kind of see your partner for what they are. You kind of see them for what you can almost get from them. And if there are real issues that you guys need to deal with, sex just kind of covers that, because you have sex and then in your head everything is kind of fine, but really no, it's not. So that was the first thing he mentioned. Then he was like, sex connects us, which it does. If we look, there's a hormone release called oxytocin, all of that, you know, you can Google it and do some more research of that. I mean, Jen, you would know, you're an expert here on, you know, the whole science and stuff. but yeah, and that's literally a hormone that makes us women attached to men, which is why friends with benefits, I just don't believe it can work, because I've spoken to people that have friends with benefits, and if that guy was to move on and get a girlfriend, they would fall type of way. Let's be real with ourselves. And it's just like, do we want those kind of problems, you know? So although that's not necessarily relevant to maybe people in a relationship, it still very much emphasizes that sex connects you in deeper ways, and especially if you don't see yourself with this person for
long term,
you're just masking those problems.
And it's because of that, like, that's the main reason for me, because of that deep connection that I'm aware of. Obviously I've not experienced it, but that just makes me even more wary of who I do eventually do it with.
That's real.
Just deep.
Oh no, it is. It really is. And then they said another thing. Okay, so
go on.
Just a couple. So then he also said physical attraction wears off, which is true. And what he was basically, the angle he was coming of was that naturally, like, let's say you have like a one night stand or whatever, and you have someone, it's usually because you're attracted to them, but do you actually like them for who they are, or the for what you see? Whereas if you're having sex with someone, it's just the physical attraction, it's more lust than like. 100%. Do you know, are they adding to you? Are you adding to that person? So yeah, there's a few points he mentioned. I thought actually, whether you're Christian or not, you can relate to that, because biology is biology. Hormones are exchanged whether you like it or not. Connection is going to happen whether you like it or not. So, you know, but in terms of people in a relationship, and then Jen, I know you wanted to say something. I would just say, just beware that the institution of sex is great. Whatever God creates is good. Literally, when you go back to Genesis, every single thing God created is good. So sex is great. However, it's great in the context that he created it for.
Yeah.
Because of all the, it's not because he didn't want us to enjoy. That's not the reason why. Like, of course, we're his children. God wants us to enjoy,
but of course,
he knows. We know. I mean, Bianca and I, we can relate on the issues that occur when you do have sex and the complications it brings. Yeah. All sorts of complications. You know, that's why when people talk of STDs and all of this and all of that, it comes mm-hmm. down to sex. And it's just like, God sees that and he wants us to avoid that, which is why he created it for us. Bianca, why are you laughing?
Because I literally just mumbled, I have to thank God that never happened to me, like,
the STD stuff. I've heard stories. I've heard of people getting herpes, like, honestly, all of that. Thank the Lord in heaven. Mate, it's not cute. So, my thing would be, whatever works for you, but just bear in mind that there are consequences to every single action we take. There are.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's what
I think. It's, well, Jen, actually,
Jen,
you wanted to say something.
Yeah, you wanted
well,
to say
I was
something.
Just, it was just going to go back to the whole abstinence thing. Like, what does that mean? Like, what has been, like, abstinence from what? Just from having sex or having sexual, getting involved in sexual activities?
That is such a good question.
Like, what does that actually mean? Or does it depend on sexual activities?
But we can get the definition.
I suppose it is subjective, though, to the person.
The person and the couple.
You know.
So the practice
and,
of
yeah.
restraining. And the person.
Okay, so it's actually not just sex. It says the practice of restraining oneself from indulging in something, typically alcohol or sex. So abstinence, it can be across the board. If you're not indulging in something specific, you can say I'm abstinent from this or that. But typically when someone's saying that, they're talking about alcohol or sex. So, but I think most conversations that I have with people who are abstinent, who like aren't necessarily like religious in any way, they stay away from sexual activity in general. And I think
all that's sexual activity.
Yeah, and I think like from conversations I've had, it's more so because if that's what they're trying to do, they're not going to put themselves in a position where they're human beings. They have wants, they have needs. Just what I'm saying. So why intentionally put yourself in? Not to say that, you know, it's always going to go right, but like an abstinence doesn't mean you're a virgin either. Do you know what I mean? Doesn't mean that you are like, so some people I know who have been abstinent for like a year and then they have sex and then they abstinent again. It's like, okay, do you know what? I did it. It happened. Mm. Let me continue the journey. So I think it's obviously it can be for alcohol as well, but from what I've seen and the times that I have like chosen to be abstinent, I've stayed away from men. Because like that's just the reality. Just stay away from them altogether because it's just the best thing to do. It's just if you choose to be in positions or environments like that, that's good. You have strong will, but I know myself, I don't have strong will. That's just the reality. I do not.
Especially when you're under the influence as well. All those combinations are just not good.
So I think that absolute people are, but in general, what you were saying about like having the whole like faith thing and the points that you made from the article, we'll make sure we include the article in our show notes as well, so you can see that. But I think that goes into, again, no matter what you believe, is just being mindful, being wise, and guarding your heart. I think that's really important. So if you are someone who is having sex with your partner, I think, like for me, things have come with age. So in general, whether we're talking about sex or not, I, even when I'm letting someone into my life on a friendship level or business level, relationship level, I'm a lot more mindful. I'm less quick to be like, oh yeah, come into my space. I want to see what your character is saying first. I want to literally observe. I pay attention to energies and like how you are, your demeanor, like what your heart is saying. And I think that's very important. So whatever your belief is, I think it's really important to take your time with getting to know someone. There's some crazy people out here. Honestly, there's some people that have, again, there's the basics that we've all experienced in genuine men or in genuine women who just want a certain type of relationship without the commitment. And then there's people who are deeper than that, and you know, they genuinely want to hurt you. Just what I'm saying, like their aim is to hurt and to upset, maybe because they hurt people, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really, really important to just be mindful, like, and take time to observe people's character. And sometimes, depending on the character, there's been times, I don't know if you guys can relate, where I meet someone and it takes me time to figure them out. And there's some other times where I meet someone else and I feel like I've figured them out, like, within literally weeks. I'm like, okay, I feel like I know who you are. Not fully, but I get your character. I can feel that you're a good person. Just what I'm saying. So I think it's just important to take that time to guard your heart and not allow people to have access to you that way. But let's be honest, as women, when once you enter the vagina, you have entered the heart. That's just the reality.
That's the reality. That is the reality.
That's actually scary. Yeah. And I think that's what I'm also scared of as well. Like, just being that intimate with someone and then they're gone. Yeah. Like,
that vulnerability.
It hurts. It sucks.
Sometimes I even feel it's worse than physical pain, because physical pain eventually is almost leaving the body. With the emotional pain, you don't know what to do with it. It's a feeling, but it's not a feeling. It's weird.
So, and then you have to just get on someone, with your life as normal, but the pain is still there, and you don't really ever forget.
Tears falling down your eyes.
Oh,
hey!
No, not
just
that.
Just looking out the window. It's just a lot. It's very hurtful. It's hurtful. Mm-hmm. So I would just say, like, it's really important to guard your heart. And I was mentioning to Sade that a lady on Instagram called Dorothy, I think it's Tamuno now, her last name.
Yes. Did you see it, Jen?
I did, yeah, I follow her.
I think it was this past week. She literally posted about how she was a virgin until she got married. And she's 30 now, I think. But she got married at 28. So 28 years, she was a virgin. And I think she started some sort of podcast. I don't know what it is. Let me just
Virginology.
So it is Dorothy Tamuno. She is a Christian, but I would definitely say to go to her page. Her name, if you just type in Dorothy Tamuno, Tamuno, on Instagram, you'll find her, because her Instagram has got hella underscores.
She's amazing.
So, but she basically posted something, and it's called Virginology, and she's going to be talking about all sorts of things, addressing how it was, you know, how she held out. She did share a story, which I was telling Sade about how when she was younger, she just got fed up. She got fed up, and she was like, this is it, it's about to happen, it's going down. And she tried to book a hotel with someone, everything like that.
Well, she went that far.
yeah, because she said that, like, obviously they both lived with their parents, so it wasn't, and then I think they were gonna go to his house, and she just said that, like, God spoke to her and just said,
Yeah,
now she's even pregnant with her first child.
Amazing.
I would definitely say to anyone that is in that space where they are still holding out and they are a virgin, whether you're Christian or not, like, it's just, I would say check it out, because I'm sure she's going to give some perspective that, like, for example, Jennifer can give, but myself and Sade can't, just what I'm saying. So I think we'll definitely get to check her out. But, like, what precautions do you think you guys have taken to guard your heart from even people who, like, in the getting to knowing stages? Because I think sometimes with us women, we give too much away too quickly, even not just our body, but emotionally.
Yeah.
We do too much, we talk too much.
Yeah.
And so how, I don't know if you guys have been intentional about this, like, as you've gotten older, more intentional, what steps do you take to guard yourself, to guard your heart? Like, Jen,
I don't give much away, to be honest. I think that's kind of how I am as a person. Yeah, I like to suss someone out.
I can tell as well.
I act like, oh, you know, it's a daisy, but trust me, I'm watching you and I'm analyzing you until I get to the point where I'm comfortable. I think I've always been like that, and it's, you know, it's worked out in my favor, to be honest. I don't think I've gotten that heartbroken in the past or recently anyways. I think sometimes it's good to reserve a little bit of yourself. Obviously, as you're getting to know the person, you open up more and more, depending on if you trust them. But for me, I don't give everything all away at once.
And that's powerful. My dad always tells me that, like, be a bit mysterious. Don't give everything away. Leave some things open to guessing. Let people discover you. But really want to discover you. Don't just give everything away. Yeah. With me, I would say I'm quite an open book. if
if
your energy is right, I tend to just kind of talk. Yeah. Of course, there are certain aspects of my life I just would keep private anyway, like my family life, whatever. But me, about me, I kind of just talk and talk and talk. And, you know, of course, the energies have to match. In terms of guarding my heart, I guess it's a case where if I kind of spot something that seems dodgy to me, I may not even say anything. I'll just observe that and be like, okay, that's it. I kind of know that, okay, you've done this dodgy thing, that's it. Like, I'm not gonna, even if you continue talking to me, whatever, I might respond, but it's not gonna be the same, because you've made me, if I have to think about anything too deeply or wonder, what does that mean? Then I kind of know, okay, yeah, this is not, you're not straightforward. So that's already like, so I guess that's me guarding my heart in a way, so that, you know, taking those precautions to kind of know that, okay, you've done something that's a bit of a red flag. So now I kind of know where I stand, and I'm going to slow down, and I'm not going to get carried away.
I haven't
necessarily done a great job of doing it, but in the time that I have been successful in guarding my heart, that is what I've done.
Yeah, 100%. I think I'm an
oversharer.
Sharing, like, oh, this is my life, and this is this, and this, and this. And I was just like, and then I get on the phone, I'm like, oh, we finished having that conversation. I'm like, Bianca, you literally just told your brother your whole life from A to Z. Like, literally everything, your birth, listen, your genes, your DNA, your blood type, everything. Told him. One thing I do now is if I feel the urge, because I feel like it's an urge, but I just blurt things out. And I think also it's because I'm quite a conversationalist. So I like
to so I was going to say that.
Emotionally intelligent, like intellectually, I like to really connect with people. So for me, I think a big part of that is I need to feel like, okay, like I'm sharing, you're sharing, we're being able to connect on a certain level. But one thing I do if I feel like it's like going to vomit it out is I will go and speak to my friends. And literally, if I'm in that place where I just want to talk a lot or I want to share, I'll call one of my girls and just we'll have a conversation. And I've noticed that when I do that, I actually feel much better. I feel like, okay,
that's really good.
So that's what I definitely do. I just find someone else to talk to. And obviously, the conversation will be very different, because if you're getting to know someone, you're going to be sharing things that your friends already know. There's always things that you're going to be talking about with your girls. So if I just feel like I want to connect with someone on an emotional level or intellectual level, I'll call my sister or I'll call a friend or I'll call my best friend and we just talk. And I've noticed that genuinely helps me to not just vomit on him.
I get it. Because sometimes we just want to talk. We just want to release. But actually, the person you're talking to may not be the right person.
Exactly. And then if I'm honest, if I'm 100% honest, it's not even a struggle. It's because I think this is just who I am, and I don't think it's a bad thing. Is that one thing that happens to me is if I meet a guy and I'm really like the connection emotionally and intellectually and spiritually is on like 100, I'm gonna want to share myself with him physically, because I'm like, that's the next thing. You're connected, like you've really connected, and you know that the connection is not just a physical thing, because you've connected to him on every other thing. So I think that's also why I try my best to be more careful, because I feel like if I get a connection with this brother and it's all there, it's curtains for me. So I have
this reminds me of the guy just before my 25th birthday that I met through LinkedIn. I told the story. Met through LinkedIn, whatever. We connected like this. It was so random, so weird, but we really did. He was a pastor's son. He was career driven. We just got each other.
Yeah,
but then he still did me dirty, so it kind of just makes me think. So do connections really mean anything then?
Yeah,
that is true. But I think time tells, and sometimes there's no guarantee. But there's some people that you do really connect with instantly, and it turns out that, like, I will say with my partner now, like Joel, we met like 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, and I wouldn't say like from the get-go, but definitely very quickly we were able to build an emotional and an intellectual connection. And for me, I hadn't been able to connect with anyone like that ever, even my past exes, anything like that. So for me,
that's how you know.
Like, Yeah, and then, you know, what I also do is I do my research. Like, I'm going to ask my friends, the friends that I do know here, what does his character say?
Yeah.
I've told you guys, like, my family, my sister has now met him. What do they feel? What's the vibe they get from him? So all of these different stages, that it's not like I'm vetting him, but I think it's important to...
Oh, no, it is.
Do your research.
Yeah.
Well, because way, as girls, way, yeah, go on.
We have to.
We but have in a way, to. Like,
I think there's these stages because sometimes... Obviously, as women, we are very emotional. And so we have to not just, okay, I trust myself and I trust my own instincts, but let me see what this person is saying, or let me see what, you know, my sister may be saying, or this person, and see if they feel the same thing, if they get that same vibe.
Yeah, it's good to get, like, different perspectives.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, definitely.
So, yeah, let's do our She's All That, guys.
She's all that.
Okay, so for our new listeners, for those of you that don't know what She's All That is, this is my favorite part of the episode because this is when we celebrate a woman who is killing it. She could be killing it in her career, business, local community, anything. Either way, she's killing it. So, yeah, we like to celebrate women because that's what She's In The Pod is all about. Jen, over to you, girl. Who's our She's All That for this week?
This week, She's All That is Azariah. Now, I say this because Azariah, she's from Backchat, London. She's also a singer. She's also a teacher. And she's recently started a group on Clubhouse called 3O. Now, basically... she's the one that started it, yeah. And it's ultimately talking about just life in general, talking about pressures in society and really, like, important topics that we can all relate to. And I've absolutely loved her series. I mean, she does it every Monday. And she's really created like a really, you know, safe space for people to share their experiences. And it's now become a massive organization, I would say. I think they've got their own Twitter profile now. And
it's
beautifully blossomed. And that's why I wanted to kind of shout her out because she's handled this amazingly. She's a great moderator as well. And yeah. Absolutely love it. That's one of the things about Clubhouse I love.
Very few, like, good things on Clubhouse now, you know? Like, pure, genuine things, you know? So, yeah, I think she's definitely deserving of that title. And even her Instagram posts, like, how vulnerable and open they are about where she's at. So, yeah, big shout out to Azariah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think she's definitely deserving of that.
Amazing. Yeah. Nice.
Cool.
So, yeah, just to carry on then. So, we're going to just... end off with the pressures around having sex. Now, let's not ignore the facts.
Or not having sex as well.
Yeah, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
there's a lot of pressures there.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, true. So let's not ignore the fact that sex is everywhere. Sex is in our faces, sex is in our books, our TV shows, adverts, everywhere. So
listen, this busted challenge, I'm sure the brothers are struggling out here, okay?
I've seen some of the replies to that busset challenge.
The
guys are having a very sore time.
Have you seen the ones where they get like their man to come up or being in robes and pajamas? It's so funny.
I reposted one, Mrs. Jedensky. She's so funny. And her husband came in. Yeah, husband was like, "What's that? Married woman." It was so funny that he came in the camera like, "Bus what?" It was really funny.
Sex
is everywhere.
Everywhere.
Like, even the way, you know, women are dressing nowadays is all very sexual. Everything is sex. And we had a young girl who's only 16. And it's crazy that we have really young listeners as well.
Yeah.
Which is quite scary, but it's beautiful at the same time.
It's good. It's amazing.
And she was just like, she's always been told, I'm just reading the DM, she's like, "All I've been told is to not have sex till marriage, and I don't understand why I'm not allowed to speak about it either. Everyone around me is having sex, and I'm the good one because I haven't done anything." So she would like us to kind of cover, which we have a bit. We said why it's important to wait till marriage and advice for young girls like her, if that's okay. So she's 16, so she's young. She's year 10, year 11.
She's young, but she's not young in the sense that
in the sense of the way the world is moving.
The way that I was gonna say, and even like times were different when I was young, but look how young I lost my virginity. I lost that at 13. So imagine now, it's just a very different place. Like, these school kids, if they weren't in uniform, I'd think they're older than me. Like,
honestly. For real.
So they're so advanced. Mature. And obviously social media has a lot to do with that. So I think in a sense, yeah, she's young, she's a kid, she's a child, but in the sense of the way the world is, in pressuring these young women, especially to look and act a lot older than they are.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a massive part of it. So, I mean, obviously we can all give her advice. I would probably say, it's hard to conceptualize it now and to process it now.
Mm.
But when you're younger, you really think you're grown and you are not. Like, it's just a thing that we have when we're like, when we was in school, we felt we were grown. Like, especially when you're like 11 or 6 or something, like, we grow, like, we're, and you're not. And there's so many more things that will come with age. There's so many more things that will, like, come with experience and age. And at that age, as much as life is not perfect, and I'm sure there's things that you've been through, I think it's important to know that you're going to be your better judgment when it comes to having sex and choosing your right now life partners when you get older and experience life a bit more, when you experience different types of people, different types of characters outside of school, outside of college, but actually in the real world, people who are not just teenagers. So I think that's a really important thing to deal with, like the process. Another thing in regards to like your surroundings, in regards to like people, peers who are pressuring you, is that I don't mean to say this in a way, I don't know how this will get taken, but a lot of people who made the decision to have sex at a young age will look back now and they feel like, what was that for? Like, it really was.
Feels like
I was acting like a mad girl or a madman. And it could have been avoided. It could have been avoided. So I think that it's really important to, you have to think forward and think to your future. And it's hard when you're that age because you're just in your own world. Like, you're trying to enjoy. And it's difficult. Honestly, that school and those years were the best years of my life. Like, generally, it was just carefree, enjoyment, laughter. But still, you have to think forward. There are, like Sade says, there are, like, it's a domino effect. Life is a domino effect. For every action, there is a reaction, whether good or bad, whether positive or negative. So try to think forward. Even if you can't think 5 or 10 years ahead, try and think 2 or 3 years ahead. Where is this decision that I'm making now going to have me? And I saw this tweet today, which is actually really relevant. And it was basically saying, like, ladies, people don't know, they underestimate how getting with the wrong guy can literally change the trajectory of your life. Like, messing with the wrong person.
My mom says so you know that there's different decisions, choices we make. One of the most powerful decisions is who you marry. I think that the university you go to and something else, but who you marry, who you choose to date is one of the most important decisions you will ever make. It can literally either make you or break you. And I've seen both.
Yeah.
I'll leave it there.
No, but, that's great.
But yeah,
that's
great. It's real.
I think, so what, I guess my advice, I'm trying to think because I was, you know, that 16-year-old girl, and even at 25, not that someone's necessarily putting pressure on me, but I do feel it. And I think what's really helped and what I think would be helpful is also looking at people who have waited, and just seeing like how they're kind of living and, you know, their sort of values and why, looking at the reasons why. So I looked at people like Tamara Mowry from Sister Sister, Angela Simmons, Yvonne Orji, you know,
you
who
see?
Either have all waited or are still waiting until, you know, a later age. And for me, it's like, as much as people kept telling me, oh yeah, look forward, think about the future, it's like, sometimes it's really hard because, like you said, Bianca, you're in your own bubble when you're so young, or even now, like I'm 25, sometimes I can be in my bubble. I'm like, I mean, if only I could do this, like I would belong, or, you know, that kind of feeling. But actually, when I hear stories from people who have waited, like Dorothy, or who, you know, are in similar positions as me, I find it a bit more helpful because I can relate to them more. So I would also try and do my own research and, again, surround myself with, you know, surround yourself with people who maybe aren't actively having sex, which can be hard depending on how your friendship group is set up. But try and be proactive in that sense, and, you know, look outwards, look and to seek out more information and, you know, relate to people who are in a similar position at you. And that way I feel like you might feel a little bit of peace of, you know, knowing that, A, you're not alone, you're not a weirdo, and it's totally fine.
At all. And it's actually, I really like the fact, Jen, that you mentioned those ladies that waited, because there's absolutely nothing wrong with them. Sometimes we think, oh, it's only like weirdos that wait. Oh, maybe if I wait, I'm weird. No, these are perfect.
Or what's wrong with me? Beautiful. Like, am I
exactly
like dysfunctional or something?
Yeah, exactly. And
also, I think that a lot of women are actually, there are some women, I'll say a lot, there are some women who actually want to try out, whether they have faith or not, they want to try out being abstinent, but they're scared that they're going to end up lonely, like that they're going to actually meet a guy and the guy that they're going to like the guy, and then it's like, the guy's like, I'm not willing to wait. But I remember we actually posted something on our Instagram page of Everyone at Orgy saying, like, if it matters to me and it's important to me, basically paraphrasing, if you care about me and this is important to me, then you're gonna care about it too.
Yeah, so definitely.
I think that that's important. Like, don't feel like, oh, if I keep someone waiting, they're eventually gonna leave me.
Then they're not for you. And it comes 100%. Down to values and principles. At the moment, I'm doing life coaching, and that's one of the fundamentals of the sessions we have. My coach is always telling me, what are your values and what are your principles? A lot of us don't have values and principles. If someone was to ask you now, what are your principles in life? What values do you live by? A lot of us don't actually have any. So that's really important for us to have. So, you know, to the girl that sent us the DM and to the other ladies that reached out to us, because a lot of us reached out to us on the back of the episode. Set some values for yourself. Create some values. What are you not willing to compromise on, and why? You've got to know your why, because then that will help you to stand firm when it gets tough.
Yeah, to drive.
If you don't know why you're doing something, go on, Bianca.
Yeah, I was going to say, to the women, I think to the women who are sexually active and do, whether you have a partner or not, I think my advice on that, because we've spoken about guarding your heart and stuff like that, I think my advice would be to make sure that whoever you're connected with physically, you're connecting on them with, on a level, other levels than just the physical level, because I think, like, I have there's so many stories out there, and where I hear, you know, people have sex before marriage, or that, whether they're of faith, some people are Christian, some people are not Christian, and I look at their marriages, look at their relationships, and I'm like, there are elements of that to me that, to me, I'd love to have in my relationship. I mean, whether it's the way they communicate, to how strong the communication is, or how they connect on certain levels. So I think if you're a part of that where you are sexually active, I think it's just really important to make sure that you are connected with those people, the people that you're sharing yourself with physically, on a level that's just not physical, that is emotional, that's spiritual, that's intellectual, because that is the most important thing. Like Sade said, like, looks eventually, as much as we're young now, we'll have these looks for hopefully 20, 30 years or 40 years. Eventually it's going to
fade away.
They fade away. And sometimes really not even guaranteed. Like, sometimes, God forbid, but certain things happen where we don't look the same. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, certain things happen where some people, I know, you know, things happen, like horrible or tragic things happen.
And accidents, they don't look the same way.
Or, you know, certain body parts don't work anymore. So you just never know. Nothing is guaranteed. So I think based on that, you have to focus on building a connection with someone that is, it's literally not, that if I never touch you again, I can still be with you, I can still live with you, I can still be your life partner. And I think that's the most important thing, because those are the things that help you to make decisions together and to build a unit and to build a family. It's those connections, it's that level of communication that was not the sex. It really doesn't
sex is a bonus. It really is.
It's a great bonus, but it's not the be all, the end all, because all of that, if you have a toxic relationship and a toxic way of communicating and you know, connecting, but you're having sex, that's just the most unhealthy environment ever.
Yeah.
And that's what we're saying about people being stigmatized. That's what it is, when we are literally just having good sex and then everything else is toxic. And our characters, who we are, the very essence of who we are, is literally being torn apart because we're in that toxic relationship just for a good few minutes, if they last that long. Sorry to say
Bianca, you're preaching.
Well, I'm just saying.
just had to slip.
I hear it.
But it's true. It's true.
Yeah,
so
no, it's true.
I think that's important.
But yeah, no, Yes, this has been a really good. And before we round up, I just want to share two scriptures that my mentor shared with me when I asked her. You know me, I love my scriptures. Yeah. So the first one was 1 Peter 5, the Message version. So it says, keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God who has plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. So it's really just encouraging, you know, I don't know if you're all Christians, but even if you're not, you know, this is just an encouragement to know that what you're going through is not going to last forever. You know, it seems difficult now, it seems tedious now, and it seems like everyone is doing it, but Jen has given us perfect examples of the fact that it's not.
And look, I'm fine.
Exactly. Oh yeah, exactly. And Jen is a living example herself, literally. And then the other one, the second and last one, is in Songs of Solomon 3:5, which says, do not arouse or awaken love until the time is right. And I love that.
I think I just want to add,
I'm gonna keep that one
to Sade, because I think it's really important for especially those of faith, because she did say like the scriptures and stuff like that. I think it's important to know that everyone's journey is different. Everyone's journey, and so if you, and even to that young lady, I think it's important that you know that your path will never be the same as your friends. Do not compare your path to their path. Everyone's life is different. So the way that
everyone's heart is different.
Exactly. So I think it'd be really important to just add on to this scripture. For those who do believe in being abstinent and waiting until marriage, and they feel like they are in a place that they're struggling or they have slipped up in context a few times. Romans 8 says, therefore, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ, Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. So I think that's a really important if that's what you believe, like not walking around in shame, because whatever it has done, God has actually already forgiven you. Like,
so yeah. don't do what I did. Don't be paranoid thinking, what this man is going to think I'm a hoe.
Exactly. So no matter what, at the end of the day, the only person whose opinion, not the only person, but the one whose opinion matters the most of you is God. And that's the most important thing. So yeah, that's how we end it, guys.
I love that.
Enjoyed this.
This was fun.
It was very much needed, you guys, as well.
If you guys have any like DMs, if you guys want to DM us, honestly,
keep them coming.
Please do.
Honestly, we do read out our DMs, but all of it stays anonymous. Every now and again, if it's relevant to the topic, we will read them out. But nobody gonna know it's you, girl. So just DM us. Whoever can relate out of the three of us to what that person's saying the most, we'll respond.
And thanks for trusting us, ladies, as well. Because a lot of you've told us some very personal things, and it's really beautiful that you trust us. So thank you.
Yeah, honestly. And we're trying to, that's why we're, with each episode we do, we are more and more intentional about actually literally being a safe space for millennial women. Like, that's
This is so it. That's our motto.
And if that's we feel we're in a place to give you advice, we will direct you to someone who we feel can. That's just
Be here,
your big sisters, see up sisters in the house.
See up for
the world.
Shani, can you do that?
Oh, it's longer now.
I have the vibrato.
Join us back next week. We'll be here next week for another episode of In a Pod. Make sure
subscribe and follow us and give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, baby. Thank you.
Yes, yeah.
Follow us on social media.
Yes. Download our episodes, everything. You know, so you can have them on the day.
And also, comment as well. Comment as well. I mean, we're on YouTube. We've been on YouTube for a while now. So make sure you put all your views in the comments too, so we can see what you're talking about and can have a conversation.
Okay. Thank you so much, ladies. And we'll see you same time next week.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.